Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Party's over, and Lori's going to prison.
It's Larry Woodcock on the steps this morning outside of the courthouse where we await a verdict in the trial of Lori Noreen Vallow as she's being tried in court. You may also know her as Lori Vallow Daybell. Jury is deliberating. They started deliberating on Thursday evening, the 11th, late in the day. Then retired for the evening and returned around 9 a.m. local time to continue those deliberations. Larry Woodcock, in case you're just joining us on this saga, the grandfather of J.J. Vallow and Tylee Ryan, the two children that Lori Vallow, along with her husband, Chad Daybell, is alleged to have murdered. As we discovered in the case, Alex Cox likely also playing a major role in their deaths, but he now, too, is also deceased. We will keep you up to date here on the podcast as soon as we get a verdict. We have more discussions coming your way. Right now, let's take a look back at the testimony of Kay Woodcock. This is Larry's wife. She testified very early on in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. This is her complete testimony.
All right, Mr. Wood, the state can call its first witness.
Thank you. The state calls Kay Woodcock.
All right, Ms. Woodcock, if you'd please come forward, and I'll have you pause out here when you get to the middle and raise your right hand. All right, if you'd please pause there for a moment, raise your right hand, and I'll have you placed under oath. Okay, you can be seated in the witness box up here. All right, counsel, before you inquire, just to make clear, we are making a stenographic record of the proceedings. Please answer questions verbally with a yes or a no instead of gestures. Try not to talk at the same time as anyone asking you a question. And with that in mind, Mr. Wood, you may inquire.
Thank you. Could you state your name for the court and spell out your last name?
Ethel Kathleen Vallow Woodcock. I go by Kay. Last name is Woodcock.
Thank you. Ms. Woodcock, where do you reside?
Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Okay, how long have you lived there?
All my life, pretty much.
All right. Ms. Woodcock, do you have any children?
Yes.
How many do you have?
Two.
Okay. Have either of those children ever had a child they were unable to care for?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you about that. Which of those children had this child they couldn't care for?
My son, Dennis Todd Trahan.
And what was the...
Maybe I need to move closer to it.
I don't know if that
it's not mobile.
I'm wondering if it's working. Okay, it is picking up a signal, so
okay.
If you could just try to, I guess, speak right into it, and hopefully we can pick you up
from audio.
Thank you.
Okay. What was the name of the child who had a child they couldn't care for?
Dennis Todd Trahan.
Tell me about that situation. What occurred?
He and his girlfriend, Mandy Leger, had issues, and she got pregnant. They couldn't take care of him, of Kanan, JJ. He was born, with drugs in his system.
Okay. When was this child born?
May 25th, 2012.
Okay. And what was the child's name?
Kanan Todd Trahan.
Thank you. Now, you stated he had drugs in his system. Were there any other complications?
He was born at 30 weeks. That's 10 weeks premature. He had a myriad of issues. I'm not a doctor. I can't explain all of them. But he was in neonatal ICU for 7 weeks, 6 to 7 weeks.
Okay. After he left the hospital, where did he live?
He came home with myself and my husband, Larry.
Okay. And can you state Larry's name for the record?
Larry James Woodcock.
Okay. And why did he come home with you?
The state took custody of Kanan when he was born because of the drugs in his system, and we were deemed as his caregivers until they gave the Todd and Mandy a chance to work out their plan that they help them try and become, you know, independent.
Okay.
State gave them to us.
Were Todd and Mandy ever able to regain custody of Kanan?
No.
Okay. How long did you have Kanan?
We got him in early July of 2012, and Charles and Lori got him in mid-February of 2013.
Okay, I'm gonna stop you there. Who is Charles?
My brother.
What is his full name?
Leland Charles Anthony Vallow.
Okay. And who is Lori?
His wife.
Okay. And what was her name?
Lori.
Full name.
When I knew her, it was Lori Ryan, so Lori Ryan Vallow.
Okay. Is Lori Vallow in this courtroom today?
Yes.
Can you point to where she's sitting and describe what she's wearing for the court?
She's sitting there at the defendant's table, I guess in a black jacket.
Okay. Your Honor, the state would ask the court to take notice that the defendant has been identified.
It's so noted in the record.
So let's go back. You stated that you had Kanan until around February of 2013.
Yes.
And I believe you stated that Charles and Lori took Kanan at that point.
Yes.
Why did they take Kanan?
They were granted legal custody.
Okay. Did you ask them to take custody of Kanan?
No. Actually, it was Charles had Charles and Lori approached us, and Larry and I were going to be given the option to adopt him first before anyone, and then Charles and Lori approached us saying that they would love to adopt him if, you know, he was very gingerly about it because it was a very sensitive subject. And we, you know, I was like, look, we'll think about it, but, you know, we just have to think about this. That's a big decision. And
okay. Why did, in the end, did Charles and Lori adopt Kanan?
Yes.
And why did you feel, or why did you allow that to happen?
They seem, well, number one, Charles wanted, I need to back this up with that other question, if I may. They wanted to have a child of their own. He had two kids, she had two kids. They wanted to have a child together. Anyway, sorry, ask your question again.
Why did you allow Charles and Lori to adopt Kanan?
They had a much different lifestyle than Larry and I did. All we did was work and work and go home. They were a busy lifestyle. They were very family oriented. You know, Lori was active in the community. Charles was active. They were very active in the church. She just seemed to be the kind of mom that every mom wants to be.
Okay. And so did that adoption take place?
Yes.
Okay. When Kanan was adopted, did he move from Lake Charles, Louisiana?
Yes.
Where did he go?
They moved to Chandler, Arizona.
Okay.
Where they were living.
Yeah. And is that in Maricopa County?
Yes.
When Kanan was adopted, did his name change?
Yes.
Do you know what his name was changed to?
Joshua Jackson Vallow.
Okay. And did Joshua go by a nickname?
JJ.
Okay. So, just for clarity's sake, I'll refer to him as JJ from here on out.
Okay.
Did you and Larry Woodcock maintain a relationship with JJ after he was adopted?
Yes. Actually, that was a condition of the adoption, was that we had, you know, we had to maintain access to him and maintain our grandparent role, which they were very glad. They were good with that, Charles and Lori.
Okay. And so JJ was living in Chandler, Arizona, and you were in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Yes.
How often did you see JJ?
Every chance we could.
Okay, and how often was that?
We flew out there every... I know when they left with him in February of 13, we were out there less than a month later because we were having a very hard time detaching from him. You know, we missed him really badly. But then anytime, you know, it averaged about every 3 months when they were in Arizona that we were able to go visit.
Okay. After they adopted JJ, did Lori and Charles ever move from Arizona?
Yes, they moved to Hawaii.
Okay, where in Hawaii did they move?
Princeville.
Okay, do you know what island that's on?
Hawaii.
Okay. Once they moved to Hawaii, were you able to maintain contact with JJ?
Yes.
Approximately how often would you maintain contact with JJ?
Since Hawaii was a much bigger flight, a much longer flight to get to, so yes, we went. I went averaged out every 5 to 6 months, and I would stay, or if Larry was with me, we would stay like at least a week and maybe 10 days, a week to 10 days.
Okay. Did you have any other type of contact with JJ? Through phones or digital contact?
Oh, when he learned to FaceTime, Yes. He FaceTimed us all the time.
Okay.
And the phone, too. He would call us all the time.
All right. What was your relationship like with Charles and Lori?
It was good. I mean, Charles and I were very close. He was my brother, and, you know, we always got along. We were very close. And Lori, she was just a doll. We were good friends. We talked, you know, all the time. I mean, we didn't make a lot of phone calls between each other, but when we saw each other, it was very, it was like we hadn't missed a day of not talking.
Okay. Did you ever spend time with other members of her family?
Yes.
Okay. Did Lori have any other children?
Yes.
Do you recall who they were?
Yes. Colby Ryan and Tylee Ryan.
Okay. Who was oldest?
Colby.
Okay. Did you ever meet other members of Lori's family?
Yes, there were some birthday parties and things, maybe 4th of July stuff, but yes, I did.
Who do you recall meeting?
Her parents, Barry and Janice Cox. She had a brother, Alex Cox, and her other brother, Adam Cox.
Okay. Anybody else in the family you recall meeting?
Not that I recall.
Okay. You mentioned Alex Cox. Do you know approximately how many times you met Alex Cox?
A handful of times, maybe. Sometimes he would stay with them, and so I would see him when I went to visit.
Okay. To your knowledge, is Alex Cox living or deceased?
Deceased.
Do you know approximately when that happened?
December 12th, 2019.
Okay. Did Charles and Lori ever move back from Hawaii?
Yes.
When was that?
It was around Christmas or New Year's of 2016.
Okay. And did you maintain a visit? Did you continue to visit JJ in Arizona when they moved back?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Did you ever see Tylee at the home?
We did. excuse me. Yes, she was around there. She was being her good little sister self to JJ. She would often go to her grandparents while we were there. I don't know why that was, but as she got older, she was busy with her friends and stuff. But absolutely, we spent time together.
Okay. What did you observe in the relationship between Lori and JJ?
I witnessed, she was a doting mom. She was very engaged. She was, I know one time when we went, he was probably a year old, she had a photo album and she had pictures in it, and she had pictures of me and Larry and other people, and she was reinforcing that we were his grandparents. She would point to him and say, "That's Mama," and point to the next picture, "That's Papa." And she was a good mom for everything I could see.
Okay. What did you observe in the relationship between Charles and JJ?
Charles was hands-on. He was engaged. He took a lot of... when Charles was traveling for business, Lori had him all to herself. But when Charles got home from his businesses, he had JJ all the time.
Okay. I'm going to talk to you about the year 2019. Do you recall the first time you saw JJ in 2019?
It was right around the 1st of February.
Okay. Where was that?
In Chandler, or in the Phoenix area, one of the Maricopa County.
Okay, so is Chandler in the Phoenix, the general Phoenix area?
It's a suburb, yes.
Okay. Do you recall how long you stayed there?
That time was about probably 2 weeks.
Okay. Was there a specific reason you had come out to visit that time?
Yes. Charles reached out that he and Lori had split up, that she was gone, and he was totally very distraught. So I went to, excuse me, I went to help him with JJ.
I'm going to object here. This is hearsay evidence that's coming in.
Your Honor, I haven't heard any hearsay yet.
Haven't heard that yet either. Do we have water for the witness?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you needed any. I couldn't see if you had any down there, but feel free to take that and have that ready. All right. Objections overruled.
So, Ms. Woodcock, you had stated that you were in the process of saying that you were out there because Lori was gone.
Yes.
Okay. Were you aware of where Lori was?
No.
To your knowledge, was Charles aware of where Lori was?
No.
Okay. Did you see Lori at all while you were there?
No.
Okay. You stated you were there for a couple of weeks. Did you take JJ with you after that at all?
Yes, I brought him home to Louisiana with me. Charles needed to go to work, so, and we were ready to have him in Louisiana.
Okay. Approximately how long did you have him in Louisiana?
Probably a week, maybe two. During that time frame, from like February 1st till the end of March, we were back and forth. To Louisiana, to Phoenix, with JJ, you know, just busy trying to help Charles get things squared away.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I might have missed it. Did you mention a time frame in which you were going back and forth between Louisiana?
Yes, between February 1st of 2019 and all through the end of March of 2019.
Okay. Did you stop going to Arizona?
Yes.
Why was that?
Because we moved Charles to Houston, Charles and JJ.
Okay. And when Charles and JJ moved to Houston, was Lori with them?
No.
Okay. Why did Charles move to Houston, to your knowledge?
So we could help him. Well, he didn't have any family in Arizona. It was all just her family. JJ needed good schools, which they had in Houston. We didn't really have any in Lake Charles. And Lake Charles is 2.5 hours from Houston. We would be able to, whenever Charles would go out of town, took up work, he was gone maybe 3 days when he would go to work. And I would, that way I could be in Houston with JJ while Charles was gone, and he wouldn't be with a stranger, and I could get him back and forth to school and just take care of him while Charles would be working.
Okay. Approximately how far is it between Houston and Lake Charles, Louisiana?
150 miles.
Okay, so that's a drive that you can do.
Yeah, just straight down I-10.
Okay. And did you ever have occasion to go to Houston and stay with JJ while Charles was gone?
Yes.
Okay. How many times did you do that?
There was once Charles moved there like March 31st of 2019, and he did need to get some work. He needed to go to work, so I went to Houston and stayed with JJ for probably 3 days, I think it was that time. And Charles went and did his work. JJ and I, we had a good time.
Okay. I'm just going to briefly ask you a few questions about Charles's business. What did he do?
He was a financial planner. He mostly sold annuities.
Okay. At any time, did you become involved in helping Charles with his business?
Yes.
When was that?
In February of 2019.
So in the same time period we've been discussing?
Yes.
Why did you start helping Charles with his business?
he asked me to help him out because he couldn't. He was very distraught with Lori, for one thing, for their separation. And he just needed help. I helped him with his payroll, his accounts payable, receivable. My husband, Larry, and I owned a business, so I was very familiar with the workings of a business or being self-employed. And so I did what I could to help him.
Okay. And so through this help, did you have access to Charles' banking information?
Yes.
Did you have access to his emails?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have access to other financial information?
Yes.
Okay. Did anything happen in April that changed the situation and arrangement you had with Charles?
Yes.
What was that?
Lori went to Houston, moved in to Houston with Charles and JJ.
Okay. Can you state that again to be clear for the record?
Oh, Charles and Lori moved to Houston with Charles and JJ.
Okay. And you said that was sometime in April of 2019?
Yes.
Okay. After that, did you continue to see JJ in the Houston or Lake Charles area at all?
Oh, yes. Often.
Okay. How often?
Every weekend he would come, or every other weekend, just whenever he could get away, he would bring JJ. And they would come for the weekend, which we were more than happy to have them.
Okay. Did Lori stay in Houston? Are you aware if Lori stayed in Houston?
As in,
Did she stay? I apologize. Did she continue to live in Houston?
As far as I knew, she was go to Phoenix and I don't know where else, but... I don't know exactly what her travels were at the time, but I know Charles would come sometimes and say, well, Lori's gone this weekend, or, you know, she went to do this weekend. I don't remember the specifics.
Okay. Did she move from Houston?
Yes. In June of 19, Charles secured her a home in Chandler, which is a suburb of Phoenix.
Okay. And when Lori moved back to the Phoenix area, where was Charles staying at that time?
He wasn't staying there. He still had a home in Houston, but when he would get a hotel.
Okay. At that time, to your knowledge, are you aware if Charles was intending to divorce Lori?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know if he was ever able to finalize that divorce?
No.
Okay. To your knowledge, is Charles Vallow alive or deceased?
He's dead.
Do you know the date he died?
July 11th, 2019.
Okay. To your knowledge, did Charles Vallow have a life insurance policy?
Yes.
Did you ever have an occasion to speak with him about that policy?
Yes.
When was that?
In February of 2019, he approached me and said he wanted to name me the beneficiary. It was a $1 million policy, and he wanted to name me beneficiary and take Lori off.
Okay. Did you ask him to name you as the beneficiary?
No.
Okay. During that conversation, did you commit to doing anything with that life insurance policy money if you were the beneficiary?
Yes.
What did you commit to do with that money?
To finish raising JJ, because Lori didn't want him anymore.
And did you commit to doing anything else with that money?
Yes, he had asked me to give half of it to his two adult sons, which I did.
Okay. Did you ever have another conversation with Charles about that life insurance policy?
um, I can't remember at this moment. It might come to me in a minute. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But is it fair to say you don't remember having another conversation with him?
I don't remember right at this moment.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I do know that.
It would be hearsay if she did have a conversation with him.
The existence of a conversation isn't hearsay.
All right, Mr. Wood, why don't you ask another question? There's a pending objection, but I don't know that this would be responsive to that, so if you'd re-ask.
Okay.
We've got another question that will be posed before you can answer. Sorry.
After Charles's death, did you receive the benefit of that life insurance policy?
Yes, it was unexpected because I never knew. I never followed up with Charles to see if he had changed me to his beneficiary. But yes, I did, probably within a week of his death.
Okay. And how did you find out about that?
The insurance company called me.
Okay. Did Lori Vallow ever contact you about the life insurance policy?
Yes.
Do you know what number she texted you from? Or let me rephrase that. How did she contact you?
Through a text.
And do you recall what number she texted you from?
No.
Did you have her saved as a contact in your phone?
Yes, she actually had two numbers in my phone.
Okay. And do you know what those two numbers are?
Yes. Can I have a paper with it on there?
Do you remember those numbers off of the top of your head?
No.
In anticipation of the day, did you make a record of what those numbers were if you couldn't remember it?
Yes.
Would it refresh your memory to look at those numbers?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'd ask, what kind of document did you prepare to see those numbers?
I just did a screen print and I have it on and made a copy.
Okay. Your Honor, I'd ask that the witness be allowed to look at those documents to refresh her memory.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
All right. You can go ahead and just indicate on the record what it is specifically you've looked at, and then after you've looked at that, put it away or turn it off if it's a device, and then we'll...
I have it right here.
Okay, so printed papers, it appears. If you'll just look at those, and then once you've refreshed your recollection, set those aside, and then Mr. Wood will ask another question.
Have you had a chance to look at those?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall the numbers you had stored in your phone for Lori?
Yes.
What was the first one?
480-489-4652.
And what was the second?
480-692-9562.
Thank you. Mrs. Woodcock, do you recall the last time you saw J.J. Vallow in person?
Yes.
Where was that?
Lake Charles.
Do you recall when it was?
The weekend of May 17th. And I remember it vividly because we gave him a birthday party because his birthday was May 25th.
Okay. And did you, so you saw him at his birthday party?
Yes, and they spent
Where
the
was
weekend.
That?
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Where was that?
At Mr. Gaddy's, a pizza place in town.
Okay, and then did he spend that, was it a weekend?
Yes, they spent the weekend with us, and we gave him the party on the Saturday, and then the Sunday afternoon they left to go back to Houston.
And that Charles. Was... Just to be clear, that was the last time you saw him in person?
Yes.
Okay. After the last time you saw him in person, did you ever have contact with him again?
I think we may have had a phone call or two when he was with Charles, yes, but...
Okay.
That was about it.
All right. After Charles passed away on July 11th, did you ever have contact with him again?
Yes.
Tell me, do you remember how many times you had contact with JJ?
three times.
Do you recall the first time you did?
Yes.
How did you have contact with him?
It was a FaceTime.
Okay. Do you recall when that was?
It was probably, let's see, June 11th. So probably around July 20th. Probably about a week or so after Charles's death.
Okay. Was there anything about that contact that stood out to you?
Yes.
What was that?
He normally had an iPad or a phone, and he would walk around and talk to Larry and me. And it was always so funny because he wouldn't hold the device to him. He would walk around, and we'd see the ceiling in most of the places that they lived. But anyway, it was always funny. But yes, he would hold the iPad or the device, and he would talk until he was ready to hang up.
And so that's how you normally communicated with him?
Yes.
On FaceTime. On this specific incident that I asked you about, was there anything different about your communication with him?
Yes. He did not have the device in his hand. Somebody was holding it for him. And he normally, like I said, he normally always had it. But it was a very short call. And he would look up, and whoever it was obviously taller than him. But he was having a bad... taller than him.
And you said it was a short call. Do you recall approximately how long it lasted?
Probably maybe 30 to 45 seconds.
Okay. Did you have any other contact with him by FaceTime after that?
Yes.
Do you recall the next time you did?
Yes.
When approximately was that?
It was in the evening time, and again, he was not holding the device. He was, this time, he was in a really foul mood, and he just really didn't want to talk. And I remember he just didn't want to talk. He was having a little meltdown. So I remember being very upset that Lori waited till that time of the evening, or he was very tired. He was overly tired, probably, and he didn't want to talk.
Okay.
So I was very upset about that.
About how long did that conversation last?
It was under a minute, 30, 45 seconds, maybe a minute.
Okay. Did you have any other contact with J.J. Vallow?
The last contact that we ever had with him was on August the 10th of 19. And that was a 35-second FaceTime. And he, again, was not holding the iPad or the device. He just said, "Hi, Mama. Hi, Papa." And then he looked up as if someone, whoever was holding the device, and he goes, "Gotta go, Mama. Gotta go. How do you say it? Gotta go, Mama. Gotta go, Papa. Bye."
Okay.
And that was it.
So that was the end of the conversation.
That was it. Yes.
So it was a short conversation.
Yes.
And that was the last time you ever had contact with J.J. Vallow?
Yes.
On August 10th, 2019?
Yes.
Okay. Did you attempt to have contact with J.J. after that?
Yes.
Okay. How would you attempt to have contact with J.J.?
I, myself and Larry would, it was call, email, text, voicemail, any way we could, but I never got any response from her.
Okay. I'm going to take you back in time a little bit. Did you attempt to arrange with Lori for JJ to attend Charles's memorial service?
Yes.
Where was Charles's memorial service held?
in Lake Charles.
Okay. How did you communicate about that with Lori?
I don't remember if it was a phone call or a text. I don't know, but she had agreed that JJ could attend the memorial service.
Okay, and did you have a plan for picking him up and the logistics of that?
Yes, I was. I bought plane tickets for me to go to Phoenix and pick him up, get him from her, and to fly back to Lake Charles and attend his memorial service, his dad's memorial service. And we were going to have him for a week, and then I was going to fly back to Phoenix with him and give him to Lori and then fly home.
Okay. Did JJ end up attending his father's memorial service?
No, he wasn't allowed to.
Okay, and did you speak with Lori about that or communicate with Lori about that?
She wouldn't answer anytime I tried to reach out, she wouldn't answer me.
Okay. Was Lori at Charles's memorial service?
No.
Okay. Your Honor, I'm going to ask the bailiff to show to the defense and hand the witness a self-authenticating document.
All right. Is there a courtesy copy for the court?
I don't have a courtesy copy for the court, Your Honor.
All right. Well,
it's in an evidence bag.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it on the exhibit list?
Yes.
I'd like to review that as well.
And, Your Honor, this may be a good time for me to lodge an objection outside the presence of the jury. I don't know if the court wants to do a sidebar first or what.
All right. If that's the case, Mr. Thomas, I'll suggest we'll take our lunch recess at this time and ask the jurors to be excused before we do that, and then I can take up the objection you're going to lodge once they've been excused to the jury room for the lunch break. So let's go ahead and do that now then, so if all would rise for the jury.
All right. Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Thomas, if you've got an objection, you can indicate that at this time.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I have voir dire native an objection?
Yes.
All right. Ms. Woodcock, a little earlier in the testimony, you were looking at some papers that you indicated refreshed your recollection about some text messages. Is that correct?
Yeah, I got responses or whatever from Lori, yes.
Okay. And where did you get those papers?
I had her numbers in my phone.
Where did you get the papers that you had?
Oh, I printed them.
You printed them yourself?
No, I brought them. I sent them. I emailed them to somebody. Somebody on the mm-hmm. prosecution team, and they printed them for me.
I see. So you've had contact with the prosecution team?
Yes.
Okay. And how many times have you had contact with the prosecution team? When was the first time you talked to them?
In probably January of 2020.
Okay. And how many times since January of 2020 Have you had contact with the prosecution team?
Your Honor, I'm going to object. I don't know what this has to do with that document.
Your Honor, under rule, Idaho Criminal Rule 16B6, the state is required to give me a summation of whenever they speak to a witness, what the things that are said within that meeting, and if she's had meetings with the prosecution that we are not privy to and that we have not been given access to or summations of. We've objected to those in the past. The state has provided some on other witnesses, but I don't believe we've gotten any on Ms. Woodcock. It's a violation of Rule 16, discovery.
Has there been a specific written request made by the defense?
No, because we didn't know they were having continued contact. Under 16B6, they're required to do that.
Well, the rule starts off on written request of the defendant. That's why I'm asking if there's a written request.
Oh, absolutely, yes. There's a written request.
And that's just going to witness lists. The state's included this witness. Oh, thank you. All right, I've reviewed the rule. What's the state's response, Mr. Wood?
Thank you, Your Honor. The rule does not require we provide a summation of every conversation we have with the witness. The rule requires that we disclose if they make any statements to the prosecutor or to law enforcement. Any statements of this witness have been provided in reports and law enforcement reports. They've never made a statement to us other than what's included in those reports. And so the objection is unfounded.
All right. Mr. Thomas, I'll allow you additional rebuttal if you'd like on the argument.
No, Your Honor. I think the Rule 16B6 is clear that they were required to turn over any statements that the witness makes with the prosecution or any of their agents.
All right. I've reviewed the rule, Mr. Thomas. I'm going to overrule the objection, and that'll be the ruling on that. In accordance with the rule, I think the state's indicated the rationale there, and you're allowed to ask if somebody's talked to the prosecutor before they've testified. That's generally part of cross-examination, but in terms of a requirement for some document that you think runs afoul of that rule, I don't see that here at this time, so the objection is overruled. With that in mind, then, why don't we have our lunch recess, and then we can continue with the questioning of this witness once we return back. So we'll do our best. We want this to be as quick as possible, but understanding the logistics here as well. So before 1 o'clock, if we can get restarted, that would be great. I'll check with the parties. I would like to shoot for resuming by no later than 12:45, if possible, counsel. All right, we'll be on break for the lunch.
All right.
Your Honor, I just note that that document is still in the court's possession.
It is. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wood. We'll hold that.
Thank you.
You can return now. It's working.
Okay, we're going to go back on the record now. This is KCR 22-211624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow. We just completed the lunch break. There's been a witness that's been placed under oath. We'll have continued testimony there before we bring the jurors in and recall the witness. I will state, for a security concern for those in attendance, when we do have breaks, I'm advised that we're not going to permit you to leave personal effects, bags, etc., sitting on the benches when you exit the courtroom at any time, because we have to keep track of any of those items, so they need to be there with you, and that's been a request for me from security, so please take your effects with you at any time that you exit the courtroom. I'll also note that the continuing conduct orders are in effect for both this courtroom and the viewing areas where this is being simulcast. And at this point, then, we'll have all rise for the jury and have them brought in once they're here. And then we'll have the witness brought in.
Yep.
Yeah, Ms. Woodcock, if you'd come forward, we'll continue with your testimony. All right, thank you. Please be seated. All right, we're returning to testimony here after the lunch break. I'll note that the witness who's testifying, Ms. Woodcock, you've previously been placed under oath, and you are still under oath for continued questioning. There was an exhibit that was held by the clerk at this time. It's been offered but not yet admitted, and I believe that was marked as State's Exhibit 1. Mr. Wood, if you'd like to continue your direct examination of this witness, you may.
Could we quickly approach and have a real quick sidebar, Your Honor?
Yes. Thank you. All right, Mr. Wood, you can inquire.
Thank you. Your Honor, I had previously handed or had handed up to the court State's Exhibit 1, which is a self-authenticating document.
Yes, the clerk has the Exhibit 1. No, thank you.
Mrs. Woodcock, do you recognize that document?
Yes.
What is it?
A Louisiana birth certificate for Kanan Todd Trahan.
Okay, and what is the birth date on that document?
May 25th, 2012.
Okay, and where was, where is the birthplace?
Lake Charles, Louisiana.
And who were the listed parents?
Dennis Todd Trahan and Mandy Nicole Leger.
Okay. Your Honor, I'd ask that that be published for the jury.
Any objection?
No objection, Judge.
All right. The exhibit may be published to the jury.
I apologize, Your Honor. I'm just removing
past for two.
All right, and before it's being published, just to clarify, it's been offered. I don't think it's yet been admitted. We probably ought to cross that bridge before it's published.
We have no objection to the admission, Judge.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, and let me make sure the record picked that up. There was a note from defense counsel. There's no objection to the admission. So that's admitted as what I believe is marked as State's Exhibit 1. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, Exhibit 1's been admitted.
Now, I'm not sure why the
projectors it works.
Projector isn't working. We had it going a minute ago.
There we go. Oh, they have to turn on.
Oh, okay.
There it is.
Mrs. Woodcock, is that the... To your knowledge, is that the birth certificate that was received when Kanan was first born?
Yes.
Thank you. Your Honor, the state would ask to hand the defendant State's Exhibit 2. It's another self-authenticating document. While it is the document itself, the state did prepare a courtesy copy for court and counsel.
All right, the witness can be handed the exhibit and I'll review the courtesy copy. Thank you. And counsel, I'm going to have court personnel assist you a little bit with the projector and the lighting on that.
Okay. Mrs. Woodcock, do you recognize that document?
Yes, there's nothing on the screen. I mean, this one?
Yes, the document you're holding.
All right. Yes, I recognize it.
What is that?
A final decree of adoption.
Okay. Your Honor, well, that's a self-authenticating document. I'd ask that it be admitted into evidence.
Any objection?
No objection.
Okay. Is that State's Exhibit 2?
Yes, and if I could get that copy, I'll put it on the screen for the witness and the jury. May I publish it to the jury, Your Honor?
You may. Exhibit 2 has been admitted.
May we get that courtesy copy that the state indicated that they had?
I handed it to the bailiff.
Never again.
Mrs. Woodcock, you previously testified that was a decree of adoption, correct?
Yes.
Who was the adopted child on that?
Kanan Todd Trahan.
And who were the adoptive parents?
Charles Vallow. I can't find his name right at this moment. Charles Vallow and Lori Vallow.
Okay. And do you know when that document was signed?
July 25th, 2014.
Thank you. Does the bailiff want to take this as it's committed in evidence? Your Honor, the state has another self-authenticating document to hand to the witness.
Okay.
This has been marked as State's Exhibit 3.
Is that the original? Can I take a look at the original? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mrs. Woodcock, do you recognize that document?
Yes, a Louisiana birth certificate.
Sorry,
a Louisiana birth certificate.
Okay. Your Honor, well, that's a self-authenticating document. I'd ask that it be admitted into evidence.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
All right, Exhibit 3 has been admitted.
May I publish it to the jury?
You may.
Mrs. Woodcock, you stated that was a birth certificate?
Yes.
Your Honor, with the lighting on that Elmo, if it's all right, I'll just have the bailiff hand this back to the witness. It's impossible to read with the glare.
Okay.
Can you state again what that document is?
A Louisiana birth certificate.
Who is it for?
Joshua Jackson Vallow.
And who are the listed parents?
Leland Charles Anthony Vallow and Lori Noreen Cox.
Okay. Thank you. Your Honor, I'd ask that what's been marked as State's Exhibit 4 be handed to the witness. Courtesy copy for the court and defense.
Very well.
Mrs. Woodcock, do you recognize that document?
I do.
What does it purport to be?
Our beautiful grandson, JJ.
Did you take that picture?
I did.
Is that a true and accurate representation of JJ Vallow?
Yes.
Your Honor, I ask that State's Exhibit 4 be entered in evidence.
Any objection?
May I volunteer an aid of an objection?
You may.
Ms. Woodcock, you indicated that you were the one who took this photograph?
Yes.
Do you know when you took it?
He was probably 5 or 6 then, maybe 7. He was probably, hang on, let me look at it. I can't remember exactly when. We took a lot of pictures of him.
Where was it taken?
In my husband's pickup truck.
And, I mean, I guess, like what city?
Lake Charles, Louisiana.
And who else was there when this photo was taken?
Well, it looks like the angle I took it from was the front passenger seat, so Larry was probably with us.
Okay. You don't have any specific recollection of the day you took this?
No, but this has always been one of my favorite pictures of him.
Your Honor, I have no objection to the admission of State's Exhibit 4.
All right, Exhibit 4 is admitted.
Your Honor, may I publish it for the jury?
You may.
Mrs. Woodcock, who is that again? Who is that a picture of?
JJ.
Okay. Is this the JJ that we've been speaking about this morning?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Mr. Wood, just to clarify our exhibits here, I'm holding a courtesy copy, but it's got a what looks like the state's exhibit sticker original. I want to make sure I don't have the original exhibit, not a copy.
I think you do have the original, Your Honor.
Okay, let's go ahead and sort those out. So I'll hand you my copy, and I'll ask the bailiff to bring me the other back. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mrs. Woodcock, you, before we broke for lunch, you had testified about Charles Vallow dying and trying to make contact with JJ, correct?
Yes.
At any time after the death of Charles Vallow, did you become concerned about the whereabouts of JJ?
Yes.
Why?
Because Lori didn't want him anymore.
Were there any other reasons you were concerned about his whereabouts?
I didn't know. I was having trouble reaching Lori and her keeping in touch, letting us keep in touch with him.
Okay. Did you ever reach out to law enforcement about your concerns about JJ?
Yes.
When did you do that?
My brother died on July 11th, and we found out about it July the 12th. And we were in Lake Charles, and he was deceased in Arizona in a Chandler. And we found out Friday afternoon, that was on the 12th, and then we talked to a detective then, and Larry and I flew out the next day to Phoenix so we could meet with the detective, and he met with us the next day, that Sunday afternoon, and our first question to the detective was, we are so worried about JJ, and also, did he see what happened to his dad?
So did you... So you spoke with law enforcement very soon after your brother's death?
Yes.
After you first spoke with law enforcement, you did have occasion to FaceTime with JJ, as you testified earlier, correct?
Yes.
After your last FaceTime with JJ on August 10th, did you ever speak with law enforcement again about JJ's well-being or his whereabouts?
Yes, numerous times.
Okay.
Your Honor, at this point, I'm going to renew my objection pursuant to Idaho Criminal Rule 16B6. She's indicating that she met with law enforcement on numerous occasions. I've received some, but I don't think I've received all of those communications.
Response?
Your Honor, the defense has received multiple reports. And I think that those would indicate all of the witness's statements about her concerns about JJ.
All right. I've considered the record that I've got on the issue, and looking at the rule cited 16B6, I'll overrule the objection.
Mrs. Woodcock, did you take any steps yourself to try and locate JJ?
Yes.
What did you do?
We hired a private investigator in October, because we had not heard from JJ since August 10th. We heard that Lori had left the state with JJ, and we had no idea where she was.
Okay.
Or he was.
Okay. I want to speak with you about November in 2019. Was JJ Vallow ever physically with you in November of 2019?
No.
You had testified earlier that you were helping your brother Charles with his business, correct?
Yes.
And you had access to multiple of his financial records?
Yes.
And other accounts?
Yes.
Okay. Did anything happen in November that alerted you to Lori Vallow's whereabouts?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall what date that happened?
November 8th.
Where were you?
At home, Lake Charles.
In Lake Charles, okay. How did you become aware of Lori Vallow's whereabouts?
I had a printer that was Charles's. When we cleaned out his house in Houston, one of his sons and my family went to pack it up to vacate the house. And nobody wanted the printer, so I said, okay, I'll take it home. And it sat on my table for a couple of months. And on November the 7th, I decided it was time to hook it up to my computer. And I was having trouble with the scanner, so I was quite aggravated with it. So I went to bed and left it alone to look at it with a fresh eye in the morning. And I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, and I just had to go. Something was telling me to go work on that scanner. And when I got to my computer, I noticed that if you have Gmail, there's a, when you log on, there's a whatever icon you want it to be in the top right of your screen. And I saw Charles's icon, his, for his Gmail on my computer screen. So I don't know how it was there, but it was there. And so I clicked on it, and it brought me to his Gmail to sign in. And
were you able to sign into that Gmail account?
Yes.
Did you have access to Charles's passwords?
Yes. He had three favorite passwords, and the first one I used worked.
And had he provided you those passwords?
Yes.
Okay. When you opened up that Gmail account, what did you see?
There was a bunch of emails, but one that stuck out specifically was an Amazon, like a delivery status, delivery of like an ordered status email.
Okay. Where was that delivery to?
It was to 575 Pioneer Road, apartment 175 in Rexburg, Idaho.
Do you recall the date of that delivery?
It was probably a couple of days before November 8th. I don't remember specifically.
Okay. But it was after July 11th, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And that delivery, was that associated with a specific company?
It was with Amazon.
Okay. What did you do after you saw that notification?
I called Brandon Boudreaux was first, and then law enforcement, and I do believe I talked to our private investigator as well. I talked to numerous people that day regarding it because I was shocked at what I found.
Okay. Did you look further into that Amazon account?
Yes. I got into the browsing history in the Amazon account, and I saw that there was browsing for a beach wedding dress, a bathing suit, men's large size, I think it was large, white linen top and pants, and malachite wedding rings. And there were a couple other little odd and end things, I believe, maybe flip-flops or something.
Was there a date associated with that browsing history that you saw?
Yes.
What date was that?
October 2nd.
Of what year?
2019.
Was there a reason that caught your attention?
Yes, because I had learned before that Tammy Daybell had passed away on October the 19th. And this was her looking at wedding rings and wedding stuff.
I'm going to stop you there.
Sorry.
When you said she was looking at wedding rings, who did you believe was looking at wedding rings?
Lori.
Okay. And was there anything else about that browsing history that caused you concern or caught your attention?
Not thinking of anything else.
Okay.
No.
Did you become aware at any time that the Rexburg police were looking for JJ?
Yes.
Did you ever meet with the Rexburg police?
I met with them in January of 2020.
Okay. Did you ever go to Rexburg, Idaho?
Yes.
Prior to this situation, had you ever heard of Rexburg, Idaho?
Never.
Did you put out a reward in aid of the search for JJ?
Yes, at the advice of a FBI.
Okay. Did you ever do interview?
I'm going to object to relevance on that last question. I'm going to ask that it be stricken from the record.
Well, the answer came before an objection was lodged, so it's not timely, so it's overruled.
Did you ever do interviews with news outlets to publicize the search for JJ?
Objection relevancy.
What's the relevance, Mr. Wood?
Just to lay the foundation of what Mrs. Woodcock was doing, looking for a missing child, Your Honor.
The objection's overruled. You can answer.
When we went in January of 2020, the media had learned of the story of the kids missing, and we reached out. Every media outlet was all over this, and we talked to every outlet we could. We appeared on talk shows. We did everything we could to raise awareness for the kids missing.
Okay. Around this time, did you ever become aware if Lori Vallow had remarried?
I did, yes.
Do you know who she had married?
Yes.
Who was that?
Chad Daybell.
So you testified you went to Rexburg in January of 2020.
Yes.
Did you ever see JJ there?
No.
Were you ever informed that JJ and Tylee were found?
Yes.
When was that?
June 9, 2020.
Do you know where they were located?
Yes.
Where were they located?
In Chad Daybell's backyard, buried in shallow graves.
Okay. Your Honor, the state has no further questions at this time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wood. Let's make sure we've got all the exhibits that were admitted to the court clerk, and then Mr. Thomas, you can conduct your cross-examination.
How are you doing today?
Good.
So when JJ was born, this was your son, right? That he was born to?
Yes.
Okay. Your son couldn't take care of JJ due to personal issues, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then he came into your custody?
Yes.
And you were kind of like, you were a foster parent, right?
Caregiver? Yes.
Sort of like a foster parent, or I don't know how it works in Louisiana.
Temporary placement.
Okay. And generally, what my understanding is and what we do here in Idaho is we try to reunite with the parents. Is that what was going on with JJ?
Yes.
Okay. And you kept him, I believe you said, from July until about February. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And sometime between July and February, there was a conversation between you and your brother Charles, right?
Yes.
About the adoption or the possible adoption of JJ?
Yes.
And Charles is your older brother?
Yes.
He's about 5 years older than you?
Yes.
Okay. Um, And tell me again why it is that you didn't want to adopt JJ.
We really wanted to adopt JJ. And we could have provided him a good home. But when speaking with Charles and Lori, they just had their atmosphere was a lot more conducive to a baby. He had issues, Kanan. I call him Kanan when we had him and mm-hmm. JJ after, so if I use either, sure. That's the difference. So with Kanan, in Lake Charles, there were no special schools for children with disabilities, mm-hmm. and that we knew that was going to be a concern at some point. Lori and Charles just seemed to have the right... let me back up. Although Charles was 5 years older than me, mm-hmm. Charles could run circles around a 25-year-old, okay? And because Lori was, I believe, 17 years younger than him. So the age in that aspect didn't matter. And my husband, Larry, at that time was 65. And we knew how much, you know, raising children, because he has 4 and I had 2. And we knew that it was going to be a lot. And his brother, Larry's brother, was raising an autistic grandchild. And the atmosphere that we had to offer in ways of, you know, stimulating a kid, bringing them to the park or going out with their friends or him having friends over, just things like that. We just, Lori and Charles seemed to have a better place. They were a better placement for him.
Right. Okay. And what you wanted was the best thing for Kanan or JJ, right?
That's what we thought, yes.
Okay. And you mentioned that Larry had a brother who was raising an autistic child, JJ or Kanan or JJ. They were also autistic, correct?
I don't think he was diagnosed at that time, but he did have disabilities.
Okay. But you learned later that JJ was diagnosed with autism?
Yes.
Okay. You talked a little bit on the, with the prosecuting attorney, about you working with Charles when he had a split with Lori, right?
Yes.
And that happened, he filed for divorce in February of 2019. You remember that?
Yes.
And that's when you flew out to Chandler?
Yeah, it was before he filed, I believe, but it was right at that time.
Okay, all right. But he ended up pulling that back or quashing that suit, right?
Yes.
So they were going to get back together?
Charles was hoping, but Lori was nowhere around.
Okay. And that was in February?
Yes. He just couldn't go through with it at that time.
And at that time, Charles had taken JJ with him to Houston, right?
At the end of March, yes.
End of March?
Okay, yes.
Is that right?
Yes, but Lori did pop back up like March 28th. We were in the middle of packing him to move, and she came walking in the house like she hadn't been gone, and she was yelling at Charles to, you know, why did you take JJ, and what are you doing, and why are you moving, and just, it was ridiculous. It was, anyway, yes.
Mm. And you recorded that conversation?
I did.
Yeah. And that was a private conversation between Lori and her husband at the time?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I was in the next room. Her friend Melanie Gibb was in the next room, and we could all hear it.
You were in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Right? And they were in another room?
They were right there in the dining room.
Okay. And so Charles ended up moving to Houston, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you said that Lake Charles wasn't a good place for the schools that JJ would need to be in, and so that it was decided that he was going to live in Houston because that was a better place for him.
Correct.
And you said that since Charles had to work a lot, you were going to go to Houston to watch JJ while Charles was off on business trips and whatnot?
Yes, or we would get him and bring him home too, just whatever worked best for us.
Okay. And how far was it from Houston to, or not Houston, Katy, Texas, right? That's where they lived?
Yeah, 150 miles.
150 miles?
Yeah.
If Google says that it took about 6 hours, to drive it, would that make any sense to you?
No.
No? How long did it take to drive it?
Two and a half hours.
2.5 hours?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's to go from Lake Charles all the way through Houston and to the other side where Katy was?
Katy. When 150 miles, Houston is about 80 miles around. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so 150 miles was like to a major airport or... In the general vicinity, yes, Katy may have been another 10 or 20 miles, but regardless, 2.5 hours, depending on what time of day you went.
So when you drove it took you about 2.5 hours to drive it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. And you indicated that that the state asked you, or Mr. Wood asked you, about why you became concerned about the whereabouts of JJ, and you said because Lori didn't want him anymore. Is that right? Did you remember saying that?
Yes.
Okay. And what led you to believe that Lori did not want JJ anymore?
Because when a mother leaves their child, she left her husband and she left her child for 58 days, and I know it was 58 days because Charles counted every day and would tell me every day. She never reached out to JJ. She didn't reach out to Charles. And
were you with them the entire 58 days?
I was with them a lot of the 58 days. Out of 58 days, I probably was with them well over a month.
So more than 30 days?
Yes.
And during those 30 days, you didn't hear from Lori?
No.
Okay, but you're not aware of times that she may have called and talked to Charles or JJ between that time that you weren't there. You don't have any specific knowledge, right?
Not that he told me, no.
Okay.
May I say something?
No, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I just
Mr. Wood will be able to
okay.
Redirect you. Something interesting, on November the 8th, you indicate that you had packed up Charles's house previously and nobody wanted the printer, and so you took the printer back to your house. You recall that?
Yes.
And then you said that you were having trouble with the scanner portion of it, and so you just went to bed.
Yes.
And then you woke up at 4:30 in the morning, and... What was that like? Tell me a little bit about that. Was that what kind of an experience was that?
It was weird because I never woke up at 4:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to wake up at 4:30 in the morning with that scanner on my mind and having to get that was really weird because I never worried about anything that much, but it was bothering me, I guess. So I think it was divine intervention because of what I found when I logged on, when I got everything hooked up and...
Sure. What do you mean by divine intervention? What do you mean?
Just God's hand.
Thank you. No further questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Mr. Wood, do you have any redirect of the witness?
The state has no further questions, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. That'll conclude your testimony.
Thank you.
You may go ahead and return down to your seat there in the gallery.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
That was the complete testimony of Kay Woodcock, the grandmother of JJ and Tylee Ryan. We will keep you up to date as we await a verdict in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. As soon as we have that, we will bring it to you right here on the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking updates and discussions on the case as we continue to have them with you. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Class is now in session. And the UPS Store is here to help you ace arriving on campus. Our certified packing experts can pack everything you need, from desktops to decor. Plus, when you pack and ship with us, you get our exclusive pack and ship guarantee. Your items arrive safe or your money back. Restrictions and limitations apply. To get a 20% off packing coupon and for full details, visit theupsstore.com/packing.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com, featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.